Welcome to the podcast series for HAP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Hamid et al. Titled, TNF Receptor Signaling Inhibits Cardiomyogenic Differentiation of Cardiac Stem Cells and Promotes a Neuroadrenergic-like Fate. This article published online September 2, 2016. Joining me today are Deputy Editor Mary Lindsay, Lead Author Sumanth Prabhu, and Content Expert Richard Gumina. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. The Prabhu Laboratory tested the hypothesis that cardiac stem cell function was modified through tumor necrosis factor TNF signaling. Sumanth, tell us, what was the impetus to do these studies?
First, thanks, Mary, and thanks to the journal for talking about our work. And I also want to thank Tariq Hamid, who really did the yeoman's work in this paper. But I think there are a couple of things that led us to do this study. And one was the fact that stem cell therapy, while it's very, very exciting and has a lot of therapeutic promise, has really left us with mixed results in clinical trials. And the degree of functional improvement has really been modest. Thinking about that in combination with the fact that if you look in human heart failure, there's actually an increased number of cardiac resonance stem cells in the failing heart. So the question is, why isn't there better endogenous repair? On the same token, thinking about the results of therapeutic trials. So what we thought was that there is probably one or more factors in the microenvironment of the heart that is inhibiting the full efficacy of these cell therapy or endogenous repair. And we thought that this was primarily related to inflammation.
Well, that's certainly good rationale for doing this study. You found that increased TNF in the myocardium restrained cardiac stem cells from undergoing differentiation into cardiomyocytes. Rich, can you tell us why this study is important?
Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Sumanth. As we know, the TNF biology is quite complex, and it's been known for a long time that the post-MI heart and the failing heart all have increased levels of TNF. In fact, work from Dr. Mann's lab really pioneered the basic and clinical understanding of the effects of TNF in the heart. But this complexity is really magnified by the fact that there's two different receptors, type 1 and type 2 receptors on cells in the heart and on the inflammatory cells, as Sumanth's lab has demonstrated in this manuscript. And really, the key findings here were that TNF via the TNF receptor 1 is inhibiting the development of these cardiomyogenic gene programming during differentiation. The second is that TNF via TNF receptor 1 also upregulates smooth muscle and endothelial cell gene expression. And the third intriguing finding is that TNF appears to promote a neuroendocrine-like differentiation of cardiac stem cells.
Sumanth, your team also revealed a relationship between TNF-alpha and adrenergic activation. Let's talk about that for a minute. Has this ever been reported before?
The background for this is that we had several studies previously that have demonstrated links between the adrenergic system and inflammatory cytokines, particularly TNF. And so we've shown several things in the past. One is that if you give an animal prolonged catecholamine stimulation, you will stimulate cytokine expression, including TNF expression, in the myocardium. The second was that if you give therapeutic beta blockade, which is now an accepted standard therapy for heart failure, you will selectively decrease both TNF and another interleukin, IL-6, in the failing heart. So these were indicators that these two systems are closely linked in biology and in intact animal physiology. And then the last thing that also served as maybe the background for this kind of study is that we had shown a few years ago that the effect of TNF is not monolithic. It's not homogeneous, but it's actually heterogeneous based on its two receptors. And does TNF have effect on catecholamine production? This is what we found in this study in the context of these resident cardiac stem cells. There was a reciprocal effect that TNF actually, in the right context during differentiation, can promote what we call this neuroadrenergic-like fate of cardiac stem cells. to the point that they're capable of producing catecholamines. So this raises the issue, is the source of catecholamines, for example, in heart failure or in other disease states that have high levels of TNF and other inflammatory cytokines, is it in part from the sympathetic nervous system, but is it also derived from local sources within the heart itself? And to our knowledge, this has not been reported previously for cardiac stem cells. Although it's interesting that in other studies, especially human bone marrow mesenchymal stem cells, TNF has been demonstrated to specify neural fate. So I think in terms of physiology and stem cell biology, this is a very understandable and yet novel finding.
I've got to ask, Sumant, were there technical aspects of this that were difficult? Because lots of people have been looking at cells and trying to understand the differentiation, but it seems, you know, this finding is really a novel finding to be able to demonstrate this neuroadrenergic differentiation. So maybe if you might comment on that.
Yeah, sure. No, I think these kinds of studies are technically challenging for the simple reason that we derive these from primary explants. Ultimately, these are primary isolates, which then go through a series of enrichment processes. Here we enrich for c-kit specifically, but as with any primary cell isolate, there's biological variability, which then leads to the need for multiple experiments in order to get at the overall effects. And I think this is the main technical challenge, is that these are not heterogeneous cell lines, but these are primary biological isolates that have been enriched for markers that, at least in the field, are believed to identify a specific resident cardiac stem cell. On top of that, you throw in the fact that the differentiation protocols that we used were over a month, and there's an accompanying need for rigorous maintenance of all the relevant parameters, including standard things like sterility, proper degree of confluence, do they become more or less proliferative, and have we sufficiently isolated the population of interest that we believe is causing the similar responses in vivo, which we aim to test. And so these are all the technical challenges. I do believe that we enriched for the type of stem cell that has been of interest in clinical trials. It is notable that in mice, especially, these cells tend to lose c-kit expression over time, unlike other species, such as porcine studies and human cells. Nonetheless, realizing all the technical challenges, I believe we're able to derive very important information.
As you know, the dogma has really been that it's increased levels of catecholamines derived from the sympathetic nervous system. But this finding that these cardiac stem cells can differentiate to these neural-like cells and secrete catecholamines locally, I think really challenges and refines this dogma and is going to change the way we view the repairing heart. Clearly, as you pointed out in the manuscript, that this needs to be confirmed in vivo. But I think if that's able to be confirmed, then it's really going to change how we think about modifying the heart during this remodeling process. It's not too long ago that beta blockers used to be contraindicated in heart failure. And now, as you pointed out earlier, they're the standard of care. And so maybe this gives us a little insight into an unexpected effect. Well, not unexpected in that they're hitting the target, but where we were aiming might not be the sympathetic system, but perhaps these cells that are taking up residence in the repaired myocardium and potentially contributing to ongoing damage.
I see. So both of you have commented on obvious next steps from here to go would be back into the in vivo situation and see how these results compare when you're in the whole body context. So this question is for Sumant first and then Rich to give some additional comments to. If the stem cells could survive past the immediate pro-inflammatory stage, what would then be challenges for them in the pro-reparative phase?
The challenges are apparent and present in both phases. And, you know, the field has been keenly aware that there are issues in cell therapy with cell survival and engraftment and persistence. Those are major issues for delivery. Estimates are more than 95% of the cells that are delivered do not persist. And then beyond that, we have to think about what is the proper cell function. Are they differentiating the way we want them to differentiate? Are they secreting paracrine factors the way that would be beneficial for cardiac repair? In the reparative phase, I think that it's much more imperative that the cells differentiate into the lineages that we would want to improve cardiac repair and remodeling. And here, we might want to think about inhibiting TNF signaling, especially TNFR1 signaling, in order to try, if these results in vitro are confirmed in vivo, enhance cardiomyocyte commitment and avoid this neuroadrenergic commitment, which may actually worsen remodeling rather than improve repair.
I would agree with Sumant's comments that I think a lot of these pathways in defining the environment are going to be contextually and temporally mandated. And what I mean by that is that the initial MI environment, post-MI environment, is a really hostile environment for a cell if you think about it. There's a number of inflammatory mediators that are released. There's danger-associated molecular patterns, molecules that are released that can all contribute to cell death. And the ability of a cell to survive in that environment becomes crucial to, you know, all the cells involved, but particularly the idea of stem cells being able to engraft into that area.
Yeah, Rich, I think that's right on. And if I had to kind of lay out a scenario where these in vitro results could help in vivo, it's the timing of when we would want to do blockade of the effects of TNF or TNF receptor 1. And we would want to do it when some of the inflammation, the acute inflammatory activation, has settled down a bit, where the cells can now start differentiating into the various lineages. And we would have to try to use the cell biology to determine the best timing for intervention for TNF or TNFR1 blockade. I think that's really the take-home point.
Sumant Prabhu, thank you for submitting this work to AJP Heart. Rich Gumina, thank you for your expert opinion. I appreciate you both taking the time to discuss this article with me. Back to you, Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.